You're watching Press TV. Time now for the news review. The United States suggesting it's ready to use military power to maintain its international dominance that's being challenged by China. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin made a comment as the Pentagon unveiled its latest stealth bomber, B-21 Raider. Austin said that China has both the will and the power to reshape the U.S.-dominated international order, but he warned that Washington won't let that happen. Austin added that the U.S. is aligning its military budget to the China challenge. Washington and Beijing are locked in tensions over a host of issues, including what Beijing calls the threat posed by Washington's strategic shift to East Asia. China also says it is ready to use its military strength to dash attempts to challenge its rising power. Okay, to get some insight, allow me to invite a couple of guests and see what they think about it. So Andrew Leung, independent China special, joining me from Hong Kong. Also with me is Jeff Brown. He's a geopolitical analyst in Normandy, France. Good to see you, John. Now let's go to Andrew first. This is what Defense Secretary Austin said to Andrew, that China does have both the power and the will to do what the U.S. doesn't want to do, to change this U.S.-dominated international order. What would it take for the U.S. to be able to counter this?
Well, the reality remains that China's power is not China's power to challenge the American-dominated international order. It's not in the military. It is China's economic gravitas, particularly its economic interconnectivity with the rest of the world. As far as the military is concerned, the United States remains the world's dominant power because the United States spends on the military multiple times than China, both in aggregate terms and particularly in per capita terms. But above all, it outspends the next almost five countries combined as far as the military expenditure is concerned. Of course, as far as military technology is concerned, America still reigns supreme. Its latest bomber, of course, is the very top range of the state-of-the-art kind of bomber. And China is decades behind the United States. As far as nuclear weapons are concerned, again, the United States has multiple times, almost 10 times, the number of nuclear weapons. And in particular, the United States has got military bases in 800 bases around the world. There is no way that China can really threaten the Americans' dominance. Of course, China's capacity to defend itself has been increasing all the time. But the fact remains that China's challenge is not so much in the military, it's in the economics. So the American defense secretaries trying to hype up this China threat, which of course is part of the 360 degrees pushback of the United States against China, is really trying to even put more money into the hands of the military, particularly the so-called industrial military complex, which is integral part of the American economic system.
Okay. Now let me ask Jeff this question. Jeff, Austin has said that talking about China's rise, that's an inevitable fact, that's been rising economically, militarily, in every possible way. And he's saying that he's wondering what that means for America's position in the world. So let me put that question to you. What would it mean for America's position in the world with China rising in different aspects?
Well, I would like to point out that what Austin said, the Eisenhower administration was saying the same thing to China back in the 1950s when they were threatening to bomb China with atomic weapons. And this was before China got the atomic bomb and missiles around 1964 to 1966. And Mao Zedong famously said, go ahead. He actually called their bluff and said, go ahead. If you want to try bombs, A-bombs, we'll just move to the western half of the country and continue on. And that's when he famously called the United States a paper tiger. And yeah. I think that really has changed for China since the 1950s. China is surrounded by dozens of U.S. military bases. China does not have to attack the United States. It only has to defend its own territory. It's the United States that has a supply line of 11,000 kilometers. This is just the typical imperial huff and puff to make the world think that the United States is indomitable and unbeatable and has full spectrum dominance over all of humanity. I don't think Xi Jinping and the Politburo or the Central Committee are losing much sleep over this, to be honest with you. It doesn't change anything for them. And I would like to say that I think China's missile technology is highly advanced compared to what it was 10 years ago. And also, China has hypersonic missiles. The United States doesn't even have them yet. Okay. So I don't think China has much to worry about. Is not going to use a B-21 radar on China. They didn't do it in the 1950s, and they're not going to do it today.
Okay. Now, Andrew, but why should American authorities, when they meet, like when President Biden meeting Xi Jinping, they talk about collaboration, friendship, and staying away from, you know, warmongering, and instead to try to find a resort to diplomacy and work things out? But now Austin is talking about, he's using the word China challenge. Why not China interaction?
Well, I mean, at the G20 meeting between President Biden and President Xi, apparently President Biden made a lot of pledges not to contain China's rise, not to provoke a war with China, not to support Taiwan independence, and so on and so forth. But all these pledges do not appear in the White House readout. If we check the White House readout on their website, all these pledges are not there, only some generalized statements. But apart from diplomatic rhetoric, the reality remains that the United States keeps on pushing back against China, because the two parties, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, even though they are at loggerheads with one another, there is one thing that I agree 100%, which is to push back against China. So I think that this confrontation with China is likely to continue, whosoever is in.
All right. And Jeff, apart from that huff and puff that you said, that an imperial power is part of its nature to do, so what about that military spending that's getting bigger and bigger, and now they're mentioning this China challenge and that we won't let that happen, we won't let China do this and do that. Doesn't the U.S. have more urgent issues apart from this military expansion and spending back home on the home turf to deal with? Like a simple disease is killing, taking American people's lives, like influenza.
Well, it's not just the United States. Western countries since the 1980s have quit taking care of their people. The neoliberal imperium has taken control of the West, and I live here in France, which is much, much better off than the United States. And we see our quality of life going down. It's worse in the UK and the United States for a couple of speeches before each election, and then they do whatever they want. The military is, the U.S. economy is so dependent on military expenditures that the economy cannot survive without it. And it's telling that the Department of Defense has made sure there are 528 congressional districts in the United States, and they have made 31 of those 528 congressional districts that they vote on, like the six in Oklahoma, every one of them have a every one of them has a some kind of a military function in every congressional district, so that the the Congress is not going to say no to the Department of Defense, and they're not going to say, the Senate's not going to say no, and unfortunately, the United States still has the Bretton Woods U.S. dollar, and they can just keep printing and printing and printing and printing trillions of dollars to fund the military, and until the dollar crashes, this will keep going.
Okay, thank you so much for the insight. Andrew Leung in Hong Kong, Jeff Brown in France. Thank you for watching this edition of the News Review on Press TV.